She lived in a country where morality was considered high on everybody's list for a long time. It was founded on that, and they thought that was the right way to go. Not a perfect people, not in this country, not even in the Lord's church. But what we had was people who really believed in certain aspects of God's Word and wanted to follow God's Word, and now we're finding they don't so much believe that anymore. We find these leaders of these many groups are just okaying just about anything anymore. You listen to what they have to say, and they don't really have a problem too much with sin, and they kind of are sliding. And it's a concern, because it always hits the church. Now, we need all of these things that we talked about in the first lesson, which was the spiritual food and water, the spiritual shelter, the spiritual security, the spiritual X factor, which is Jesus Christ. But every one of these, if you notice, is related to God and what He brought and all those things that we have. Now, the beauty of what we have, and I want to say this up front, the beauty of what we have spiritually is that we can share it. We're not going to run out of the food and water. We're not going to run out of the shelter. We're not going to run out of the security, and we're certainly not going to run out of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as was pointed out before we took the Lord's Supper. It's there in abundance, an abundant entrance. We have it. So we should understand that. Now, in this lesson, we're going to talk about how to be a doomsday prepper for the end of our life. Because at some point, all of this physical life ends. Spiritually, how are we going to survive? Can we make it to that next life, whether it's in death or where it comes, return to Jesus for final judgment? Have we made ready? So what would be the first thing? Well, I watch some of these shows. Linda got me started on this one, and I almost hate to say the name of it, but it's called Fat Men in the Woods. And it's about surviving. And I didn't name the show, so I have nothing to do with that. But it is about the fact that these men go out into the wilderness with this one survivor, and there's three of them, and they try to survive on their own. And it's serious business because they're not used to this. It doesn't matter how good a shape you're in or how bad a shape you're in. It's difficult. It's difficult to survive. And this man, he points out how difficult it is when you don't have anything. So thinking about that, thinking about what these men, when they get out there, they have hope. They believe they can do it. They have desire to do this for these 5 days they do it, and they have expectation they can make it. So that's what we need. We need that hope. We need that desire plus expectation, because it's not in us. It's in Him. We need to have that in the resurrection. We need to understand about a resurrected body that one day we can be with Him eternally. In Acts 24, Paul talking said this. He's talking to when they were accusing him of doing things wrong. He said, "But I confess to you that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." He said, so if you believe those things, it's going to bring you to this understanding. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. That's what he was basing his whole belief on. He believed that. It is a redemption of this body. In Romans 8, verses 19 through 25, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Where does the process start? It starts here. Do you want that? It starts here. The one reason these men go into that wilderness is because they want to start. They want to make a change in their life. They understand they're going in the wrong direction. That's with us. We understand that. We look for something. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And not only they, but we also who are the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We want that so that we don't have to concern ourselves with this physical life anymore, or we don't have to concern ourselves with all of these spiritual downfalls. It goes way beyond this life. 1 Corinthians 15, which is the subject matter of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and resurrection itself, and talking about there is something after this life that you need to strive for. You need to hang on to that. That'll help us in this survival. If we have a hope, if we know we can make it, it goes way beyond this life. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men to be most pitied. Why? Because if that's all we have, if we just thought it's a good life in this life because of Jesus Christ, and we have nothing beyond it, we're to be pitied because we've lost it. And anyone that teaches that, he would go on to say, evil company corrupts good morals or manners. It is wrong to teach that. It is eternal life. Eternal life, as he said in Titus 1:1-2, that was promised, that was planned before time began. This wasn't an afterthought. This wasn't one of those where we have to think, well, God is changing things as He goes. No, He's not. It is not. In hope of eternal life. Hope. Who put that hope there? God did. God did. It's laid up in heaven. It's not a hope of just this life. It's not a hope of what we can have in Jesus in this life. In Colossians 1:3-6, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. He said it wasn't just you that heard this. It's not just you that have this hope. It's everyone who will trust in Jesus Christ can have this hope, can hang on to it, can believe they can survive, can believe they can live their lives better. It anchors our soul. It causes us to be anchored. We can't be pulled away from it. It is such a hope that no one can draw us away from it, that we'll survive. In Hebrews 6, he talks about that. He talks about all the things God has promised. And in verse 17, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that if by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who has fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Isn't it interesting how all these things go together? How this whole Word of God is just one word intertwined and intermingled? Not a bunch of words. It all comes together in one. That's what provides our hope. We look from the old to the new, and we understand and know. Another thing that really helps is following the manual. If you're going to survive, it's good to have a manual there to say, this is the way some ways you can start a fire. If you physically need to start a fire, it's good to know how to start them, because we might not have matches. We might not have these little propane lighters. We might not have all this stuff. So how do you start a fire? Maybe we need to know how to purify water if we're going to survive physically. There's manuals. There's things. You might not have the internet to whip it up real quick and see how to do a lot of this stuff. You may actually need to have some of it written down. And maybe it needs to be written on our hearts, this spiritual manual. Knowing it will keep us alive, because it's alive. It's alive itself. It's a living, breathing document that lives in us. See, He didn't want the Word to be that Word that we pick up. He wanted that Word to be us, lived, shown in our lives, that we would live that way. And so He says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Does it affect everyone? No creature is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, this is a manual that's out there. It's available. It still works. It hasn't changed. It still does exactly the same thing that it did when Jesus first produced it. It hasn't changed. It will never change. It still will take care of us and save our souls. And something about this manual. You know, if you're out there and you're trying to survive, it's not about tomorrow. It's about getting through this day. It's about how do I live this day? How do I survive this day? Oh, if I'm always looking toward tomorrow, I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a problem. I need to survive today. I need to understand today. It's not about tomorrow. And he talks about that in James 4, about you're way over planning. You're talking about going and doing things. You're not even letting God be a part of your life. You're worrying too much. You're concerning yourself too much. As Jesus would say in Matthew 6, tomorrow the troubles will take care of itself. Let today be the day. That's the way it works in survival. You want to survive? Let today be that day. Let today be the start of that day, and let today be the day that all of us try to survive spiritually. That's all we have. I've never had a tomorrow in my life. I've always only had right now in my life. I don't care when it was. And so we find that he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and doth it not, to him it is sin. We need to pace ourselves. This isn't some rushed thing that we can get through and I need to get it all. No. Every day, right now, I need to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as he says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Why? Because he talks about how death had been. How death, the sting of death had been taken away. I can pace myself now. I know that today I need to do what I need to do today. I can't accomplish any more than that. I need to be steadfast in my movement. You know, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking the bread, and in prayer. They kept this steady path forward. Sometimes people rush, and then they get into trouble. What we need to do is take it steady. Move the way we need to move. Do what we need to do as we need to do it. And we need to understand this guarantee that comes to this manual. You know, those manuals of survival that are out there, and there's a lot of them, and tell you how to do a lot of different things, and they're very beneficial if you need to survive physically. The problem with them is they might not all be factual. You might have a problem when you get ready to survive that something in there just doesn't work and it causes your death. Maybe you need to be very careful in following a manual, but this one comes with a guarantee. This manual comes with a guarantee. The Holy Spirit guaranteed it. He said, you don't have to concern yourself. Do it. As he would say in Romans 12, just live it. Live it, and you'll prove it. You'll prove it. You'll prove the Word of God works. You'll prove your survival. You'll show it. In Ephesians 1, starting with verse 3, he talks about all these spiritual blessings we already have in heavenly places. He talks about us being chosen before the time began, predestined because of our obedience. Certainly talking to this group here. But this is what he starts in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, as we've already discussed, as was discussed at the Lord's table, as was discussed in prayers we've had. It is all about everything was provided. Jesus Christ, his word, prayer. All of that's provided for us. All of that's there. All of that was taken care of, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That was the intent of all this, that this branch would bring this, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. It all was accomplished. It all was taken care of. Spiritual survival. Everything that we needed was taken care of. How do I know that? In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You do not have to concern yourself. The Godhood sealed you for salvation. More than that, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until when? Until the redemption of the purchase, possession, to the praise of his glory. A written guarantee. You don't have to concern yourself with when you approach him, you say, well, you guaranteed this. He says, I know. And you have it. It's given by God. It's given by God. It's not given by some man. It's not given by some leader of some organization, spiritual or otherwise. In a discussion of this and talking about what we have, how we're looking forward, as Paul said, to that time when we can redeem our bodies, when we can have eternal things. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, this physical building of mine that's going to be destroyed, we have a building made by God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Which one do you want, Abe? A physical old body that's falling apart that you don't take care of like you should? Or you want one spiritually that will last eternally with no problems whatsoever? For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up alive. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. You want the perfect warranty? You want the perfect guarantee? You know, I bought a new set of tires. 80,000 miles. 80,000 miles. And I tell you, I don't know if they'll last 80,000 miles. And I guarantee if I take them back, I've done this before. Well, you know, you have so much tread life. And you have so much of this. And you have so much of that. And it'll cost you so much to do this. And it'll cost you so... How would you like to face God like that? We don't have to. We don't have to. We've got a complete warranty. He says, I'll do it. And here's our problem. We've got to make sure about the manual we use. We've got to make sure that we're using the one that God gave us. We've got to make sure that we don't let someone else slide another one in there that might cause us to get blown up while we're trying to light a fire. We don't want someone that says, I'll tell you what, don't worry about that water. Just go ahead and drink it. You don't need to purify that water. Well, just drink that pond water like it's nothing. It'll be fine. You want that manual? You want a physical survivalist that would tell you to do something like that? How about a spiritual survivalist? Well, let's be careful. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. Why can we be dependent on Christ? For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. You don't have to concern yourself. You don't have to. It is God in bodily form that brought this. We don't have to concern ourselves about who it was. You don't have to look up here and say, well, that was just Abe preaching that. No. You don't have to worry about that at all. It was not. I can cheat you. I could use some really good words about how you can be saved. And I can put some flowering things behind it and I can just let the sugar drip off of my tongue. The problem is we have people out there that have their own manuals, have their own precepts, have their own concepts. They're letting other human beings decide for them what to do rather than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the confidence we have in Christ. I don't have no confidence in me. As it said, don't put your confidence in man. Human beings, I mean, we all... How many times have we studied God's Word together and we all say, well, maybe we're discussing it and we have different ideas and different thoughts about things, right? Isn't that true? Yeah. Which one do we go to? Well, I like Glendon. So, you know, I'm going to go with whatever Glendon says. Is that the way it works? No. Not the way it works at all. No, that's not the way it works. Those good words and fair speeches so many times deceive the hearts of the simple. But I'm going to tell you who will not do that. And now, little children, abide in Him. I will tell every one of you, abide in Jesus Christ. He's the one that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Not of a church, not of another person, but of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A confidence that has great reward. Cody read some from Hebrews 10 when he was doing the Lord's Supper. At the end of that chapter, after having discussed what Jesus did, after having discussed the fact that He offered Himself one time for all, who do you put your confidence in, he says. You want to go back, folks? He said, you want to fall away? He warned them about not assembling together. He warned them about all these ways that they can fall because they haven't kept this manual. So what does he end up saying? For you have need... Well, this, verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. He said, you had it. What happened to you? What happened to you? For you have need of endurance, so that if you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then he quotes, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but to those who believe to the saving of the souls. Holding on, believing it, having confidence in ourselves? No. But having confidence in His Word, that if we try our best to live by it, as Cody said and as Brad said, it does never end. His blood is always there. His body is always, that sacrifice was made so that we can have this continual cleansing as long as we go back to Him. How many sins will He remove? All of them. Only, and if only, we have our trust and confidence in Him and we hold on to the end. You see, because God won't lie. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said, and shall He not do it? And has He spoken, and shall He not make it good? I don't have to concern myself about who wrote the manual. I know who wrote the manual. And we can trust in Him with all of our hearts. And we won't lean to our own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. Not the only place it's said. There is so much about trusting in God and being careful about ourselves. What are we trusting in again? Well, we believe that we can survive. We believe spiritually we can survive until we end this life. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if it's unto death or until death. We'll survive. And we have to hang on to that. Because we might think, well, we'll never face that. As was said, I think Brad in his prayer, they faced it. How many prophets died as a result of their faith? How many people in the New Testament that were Christians died because of their faith? Don't know. Are we ready for that? Can we make it? Or if that doesn't happen, can we make it to the very end, whether He appears again for the final time, or I leave this life in death? Am I ready? In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while it need be you have been grieved by various trials. You're having to survive. You're having a problem. Spiritually you're being pushed. How are you doing? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's the end of faith. When you receive that, faith is no more. You don't need faith anymore because it's reality. You got it eternally. You survived and you made it. I believe every one of us in this room are trying to survive. We want to survive. We need to can hang on to that hope. We need to understand that it's according to this manual that we can have that joy that's inexpressible regardless of what we go through. We've got to have that confidence in the One who not only tells us how to survive, but He came to save our souls from eternal death. So how much of the manual do we need? Well, we need it all. We need it all. The whole thing was written so that we could have understanding. Which part do we obey today? We obey the law of Christ, period. We do not go back to any other laws that He gave to any other people. We can learn from them, but we don't live with those laws. But I need to obey every part of it that applies to me. I realize some things apply to females, some things apply to males, some things apply to children, some things apply to adults. I understand all of that. That's rightly dividing God's Word. Where am I right now? It's what's important to me right now. So the question is, have you obeyed the manual? Do you understand what it would mean if you had a manual to physically survive and you decided, I'm not going to do this? How long do you think you'd survive if you didn't have something to follow? Most of us nowadays, we wouldn't last very long. Oh, we think we're tough. We have no concept. If you think you're that tough, talk to Mabel or Glendon and Edith. Ask them what it was like not that many years ago in this country without all these luxuries we have now. And then ask them how difficult it'd be for them to go back to that lifestyle and survive. You know, we forget how many of us could survive if we go back to our old lifestyle. How many of us can make it? How many of us can face God with our old lifestyle? You think you're going to survive spiritually? You're not. If you're not a Christian, today is the day of salvation. Today, start surviving spiritually, and you'll have it eternally. If you are a Christian, and you need to make things right with God, make them right today. Get your life right with God. If you have any needs that we can assist you with, we certainly would be glad to now, after the assembly, or any time that you need that help. Would you please stand?